While the choir members are taking their seats, if you have your Bibles on this morning, we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to look at the book of Ezekiel on this morning. Then we're going to come back over to the New Testament this morning and go to the book of James. James epistle or James letter. And we're going to look at these things for the next few minutes that we have together. If you'll give me about 20, 25 minutes of your television attention time, then we will greatly appreciate that. Of course, we know that the average person's attention span is only about, you know, unless something's really fast paced and full of lights and moving and action and all this kind of stuff. The average person has an attention span for somebody to stand up and talk to them and just stand and talk to them is around, you know, everywhere between 15 to 20 minutes. But by way of discipline, especially for us who've been in church for years or any length of time, that particular attention span, of course, has gotten longer than that because we have been disciplined to listen and hear the word of God. But in most cases, you know, just especially those of you all who's in school, and there's science and there's research that actually tells you why you keep certain courses a certain period of time or length of time because of people's attention span and their ability to be able to retain. Why you don't give such a large amount of information to some, because their mind is just not able to attain or retain, but so much. And so with that, we just ask you for about 20, 25 minutes of your time and about, 75% of your mental capacity for the hearing of the word of God. Some of you all are giving me 100%. I appreciate it, but I know the rest of y'all gonna be around 70 or maybe in the low 60% cause It's just your mindset, and you got. But as saints, you got to fight that. You got to get disciplined. You're thinking about what you're going to eat. You're thinking about what you left on at the house. You're thinking about what you got to do this afternoon. You're thinking about I got to go to work today. Got to go to work tonight. All these things are vying for your attention. Vying for your attention, especially when football season starts, then men gonna have to really focus in because you thinking about the game, you thinking about who's playing, all this kind of stuff is on your mind, you got stats, you got this player got hurt last week, this happened, what's going to hurt, all this stuff. But when you're in the house of God, when you're in the sanctuary, we want to give God our undivided attention. We want to give God and we want to make sure because it's a trick of the enemy. I'm helping y'all, giving y'all time to find Ezekiel. It's in the Old Testament, chapter 33. So while you're turning there to Ezekiel 33, you gotta fight. You gotta fight for your focus. You gotta fight for your focus. You gotta fight for your attention because the enemy loves to distract. You know, he loves to distract, you know, with little, you know, you got your babies, you love your babies and they're babies. And you can't stop a baby from being a baby. A baby's a baby. Babies are gonna cry. Babies gotta go to the bathroom, all this kind of stuff. But we as adults, you don't have to go to the bathroom 3 and 4 times during the service. Unless you got a bladder problem or something like that. So you want to focus. You want to focus in, especially when the worship and the word of God goes forth. And that's why we tell you, empty your bladder before you come to church or right when you come in. We got 6, 7 bathrooms in the church. Go to any one of them. Of course, if you're a male, go to the male's bathroom. And women, go to the women's bathroom. Use your bathroom. Do all that good stuff. So when you come in and you get settled, settle in. Because what you want to say, my heart is, I want to hear what the Lord has to say. I want to hear what the Lord has to say, because remember, it's His word that gives life. It's His word that gives life. Everything else, your classes, what's on television, football games, basketball games, all that stuff, that don't give you life. That entertains you. It'll entertain you, but it won't give you life. It's the word of God that will give you life. And if you will hear what God has to say, that is what will give you strength for the journey and to help you to overcome what the enemy tries to do in your life. So, because we're in a battle. So I'm in a battle. You, whether you know it or not, you're in a battle for your soul every single day. You're in a battle for your soul. Some of you all, if you're born again, you said yes to Jesus Christ. And you've surrendered your life to His Lordship. At one point in time, you were under the prince of the power of this age, Satan. And you better know something. He is walking about like a roaring lion, as the Bible says in 1 Peter, and he's seeking whom he may devour. He's not just seeking people randomly. He's seeking specifically for those who have turned from his kingdom and who have come to Christ. He wants you back, and he can't have you back, so he wants to try to devour. He wants to try to devour you, and he wants to try to destroy you. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. And so that's his modus operandi, and you got to know that as a child of God, you have an enemy. And darkness, the powers of darkness, are very real entities that we battle against in our lives as God's people. That's why the weapons that God has given us, as the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10, they're not carnal, they're not natural, but they're mighty through God to pull down strongholds. Sometimes you get thoughts, you get feelings, you get impulses, you get desires that hit you, and they're ungodly, they're depraved, they're perverse, they're wicked. But you got to know that even though you're a child of God, you got weapons spiritually to now deal with those things, because all of that's a part of Satan's devouring tactic. He doesn't just pounce on you. He uses tactics to strategically try to get you and I to lose our faith in God. And so with that, we want you to fight for your focus. Ezekiel 33, you have it? Look what it says in verse 23. I'm reading out the Amplified version. Amplified just simply means it gives more of the meaning of some of the words that are in the Hebrew Old Testament, and in the Greek and Aramaic is New Testament. How many of y'all knew that? The Old Testament is written in Hebrew, all right, because it's written to the children of Israel. But we of course, it writes to us its principles, especially as it relates to prophecy and principles. But the New Testament is written in Aramaic or the Greek language. And so here, the Amplified gives us some definitions in Hebrew, expounds upon it, and also in the Greek. Ezekiel 33:23 says this: Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, those back in Palestine, talking about those back in Jerusalem, back in the land of Israel, who inhabit these ruins in the land of Israel, are saying, Abraham was only one man, and he took possession of the land, but we are many. The land has most certainly been given to us to possess as property. Therefore say to them, this is God speaking now. He's telling Ezekiel. When you see the term son of man, he's talking to Ezekiel the prophet. And he's saying to him, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord God, you eat meat with blood in it, and you raise your eyes to idols and shed blood. Should you take possession of the land? You rely on your sword as your security. You commit outrageous and disgraceful acts, and each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. Should you then take possession of the land? You shall say this to them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, those who are in the ruins will certainly fall by the sword. And I will give whoever is in the open field to the predatory animals to be devoured. And those who are in the strongholds and in the caves will die with virulent diseases. And I will make the land of Israel a desolation and a ruin, and her pride and her power will be brought to an end. And the mountains of Israel will be so deserted that no one will pass through. Then they will know without any doubt that I am the Lord when I make the land a desolation and a ruin because of all the atrocities which they have committed. But as for you, son of man, your people who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways. He's saying, listen, he said, prophet, son of man, he said, they're talking about you. Some of you all go home and y'all have preacher for dinner. You have Pastor Stone for lunch. You go home and you talk about, I didn't like this, I didn't like that, preached too long, the service was this and that and the other, and I just didn't like what he said about this or that. That's what he's really saying. He's saying what they're doing, he said they're going home talking about what you said. They're talking about what you said. And what most people don't know, God hears everything. I may not hear anything, but God hears everything. And so God just says, listen, they're talking about you, and everyone to his brother, and they're saying, come now and hear what the message is that comes from the Lord. So in other words, he's saying, now they go home and they talk about you, but then they come back to church the next time you have church, and they sit down and act like they want to hear what you got to say again. Ain't that like the average church person? It's like the average. So he's giving us this understanding. Then he goes on and he says this about them. They come to you as people who come, and they sit before you as people, and they hear your words, but they do not practice them. For with their mouth they express loving devotion, but their heart goes after their unlawful gain. Behold, you are like to them like a love song by one who has a pleasant voice and plays well on a string instrument, merely to entertain them. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So when it comes to pass, as it most certainly will, then they will know without any doubt that a prophet has been among them. In other words, he's saying to Ezekiel, you're saying what you're saying to him. You're telling them what I want, what I'm telling you to say. He said, and they go home and they talk about how they don't like what you just said. And then they come back and they sit down and they act like they want to hear what you have to say. He said, but in reality, they don't want to hear what you have to say. And in reality, they don't even have a mind to do what you say. He said, in other words, you just sound like Billie Holiday to them. You're singing a love song to make them cry. You sound like Keith Sweat. You sound like Luther Vandross. You sound like the ones that make you feel good. You know, y'all remember some of y'all older saints. Y'all remember Luther. Y'all remember Keith Sweat. Some of y'all that's around my age. Some of y'all mothers. Y'all remember others. Nat King Cole and others. Y'all remember the one with the smooth voices and the sweet sound. And I don't know who y'all listen to nowadays that have the slow jam, the love songs. Who sings the love songs nowadays? Come on, somebody. Who is it? Oh, y'all millennials sitting quiet. Y'all know. I know. I'm giving y'all one opportunity to get some feedback in church, and everybody quiet. You don't want to tell on yourself, huh? I understand. But that's what he's saying. He's saying they're like a love song. They don't want to hear what you have to say. Now let's go. Let's go over here real quick. I got to go to James, and y'all taking my time. I'm trying to get some responsive reading, and y'all ain't talking back to me. James chapter 1. But keep your hand right there in Ezekiel 33, because we're going to go back there. Look at what it says here. In James chapter 1, that's in the New Testament, all the way back there towards the back. All right, you got to go to the back of your Bible. James chapter number 1, and look at what the scripture says here. Verse 19, he says this, again amplified. He says, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. Be quick to hear. Be a careful, thoughtful listener. Slow to speak. A speaker of carefully chosen words. Slow in anger. Patient, reflective, forgiving. That's what he means. He says, now, be quick to hear. Be one who's quick to listen. And be quick to get a clear understanding as to what's being said. And once you get a clear understanding, especially when it comes to conflict, have an open mind and be willing to see it from another person's perspective. Be willing not to take the offense so quick and be so quick to accuse a person of an action that they may not even know they did. You know, you try to read faces. You try to read body language. You try to read, again, into words that are sent by text messages and all this kind of stuff. And then you get offended. You get upset. He says, no, don't do that. Be quick to hear. Be ones who's willing to listen very carefully, to understand very clearly, and then be willing to be that one. If forgiveness is needed, I'm ready to offer it. Because that's the kind of hearer I am. I'm one who's willing to offer forgiveness and bring mediation to any type of conflict, because I'm mature enough to hear and I'm mature enough now to understand and know this right here, that it's not all about me, but I want to give you the benefit of the doubt. That's what's called a quick hearer. And then one who's slow to speak, he's saying you're one who chooses your words carefully. It's not that you don't have anything to say. You're just not around talking a whole lot. You choose to speak when you need to speak, and when you do speak, your words carry weight because you know what you're talking about and you know how to give a good word in the right season for the right reason. And listen to this, more importantly, with the right motive. That is a slow speaker, one who is slow to speak. All right. But somebody like to be all the time, you talking, what'd you say this for? Why you that? I'm offended about this. I didn't like that. Why you did this? Why did that? And you question everything, and you're always creating static. That's somebody, again, as the scripture talks about, that listen, you think too highly of yourself. You think too much of yourself when you think that everybody and everyone is out against you. Don't like you. Attacking you. something like, he said, no, you gotta mature now. You gotta grow up. You gotta grow up and mature and understand that, listen, that's what children do. Children have the mindset, he took mine. He don't like me. She don't like me. She didn't speak. He didn't do it. But adults understand, no, it's not all about me. And it's not about my little feelings, because God is healing me and I'm growing and I'm maturing and I'm coming out of that. And so I'm not going to paint everybody with the same brush that somebody painted me with in my past. Because that's what, when you really want to know what Isaiah 53 talks about, when the Lord is our healer, he's talking about healing in the soul. Not so much healing in the physical body. He's talking about the healing that takes place when Christ saves you. He heals you from the inside out. He heals you from those past hurts, those past bondages. He heals you from that mindset of accusation and resentment and bitterness. He makes your soul sweet, and he makes you someone who now can trust and love and honor and respect and forgive the same way you've been forgiven. And it makes you now a quick hearer and a slow speaker. You see that? That's why you're able to do it. Then he says, for the resentful, deep-seated anger of a man does not produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which he requires from us. In other words, he's saying, so your attitude, your bad disposition, you being offended all the time and wanting to leave and get upset and all this kind of stuff, he said that type of attitude doesn't work the righteousness of God. He said that's not what God wants. When it's talking about working God's righteousness, it means you and I understand, what does God require? God requires me to forgive. God requires me to be loving. God requires me, again, to be patient with people. God requires me to be long-suffering. God requires me to be understanding. That's what he requires. But if I don't do what God requires, and I begin to take on my own attitude and my own disposition, he said, what that's going to produce is the works that are unrighteous, unfruitful. And this is why you have conflict and problems. I'm helping husbands. I'm helping wives. I'm trying to help some single people out. I'm trying to help people who used to be full of drama, because nobody wants to be around people who always have drama. It's always a problem. It's always an issue. It's always something all the time. How many of y'all know people like that? It's always something. Week or two, every month, every other month, there's some type of problem or issue. And most of the time, the issue is you. But there's some people who just are not willing to tell you. But since Pastor Stone is your friend, I'm going to tell you. Really, it's you. The problem is really you. And if you'll take a look at yourself and you're really allowing God to heal you, then you will really understand, I can become a very slow talker and a very fast hearer, because I'm healed and I'm delivered. Anyone I'm talking about, y'all asked for it. I gave it to you. Look what it says here. I got to hurry up. He says, so get rid of all uncleanness that remains of wickedness, and with a humble spirit receive the word of God, which is implanted, actually rooted in your heart. He says this, let me read it again. So get rid of all uncleanness that remains from wickedness. How many of y'all still have some residue from wickedness, from your life of sin? Stop playing. Everybody should be raising their hands. Don't act like you squeaky clean from everything that God brought you out of. There is still some residue on you. Same way when you wash a glass, you put it in the dish, if you look at it close enough, you're going to see some residue. You're going to see something, even when it's washed, you've been washed, but there's still residue of the past. So that's why, again, James here is saying, when you see that residue, put it back in the wash again. You don't take a glass that's been washed, just like at a restaurant. You don't take a glass or a fork or a spoon that you go to a restaurant and you see, dirt on this glass. This glass ain't clean. This fork and stuff ain't clean. You ain't gonna sit there and eat with it. You gonna tell the hostess or the waitress or waiter, can you give me a clean glass, please? And they take it back to the washroom and they gotta run it through the dishwasher again, because it needs to be clean. Same way with our lives. Every once in a while, when you look at yourself, if you are accessing your life by the word of God, and you're looking at yourself, you're praying, and you're spending time with God, you're going to see some residue. And when you see that residue, he says, man, you got to go to the Lord again. Lord, wash me. My attitude ain't right. You know I'm jacked up. You know how I think. You know my mindset. You know what I came out of. You know what you brought me. That's all David was saying in Isaiah 51. He said, Lord, I was shaping iniquity. I was born in sin, shaping iniquity. He was saying, you know me. You know my heart. You know what I came out of. He says, so create in me a clean heart. Renewing me a right spirit. It's the same way. Only you know what you came out of. You know your residue. You know what the enemy tries to use in you. So you got to pay attention to you. And as you pay attention to yourself, ask God, cleanse me from this residue. So I'm not a drama king or a drama queen in the church. All right? Stop asking questions. Look what it says here. He says, so get rid of that and all that remains of wickedness. He said, you got to get this stuff away. Because you will see it sometime. It pops up. You got to, when you see it, you got to get rid of it. And he says, and with a humble spirit, receive the word of God, which is implanted. That means actually rooted in your heart, which is able to save your souls. He said, now what you got to do? That's why we're telling you all. You got to shut off them cell phones. You got to don't be distracted. He said, because what's vitally important is that you got to receive the word of God. You got to receive this word. You got to receive it. And I'm telling you all this because that one of the greatest things the enemy tries to do is distract you from not hearing, but receiving the word. It's easy to hear, to listen, but it's a whole different process to receive the word. Like I told y'all before, I played baseball back in high school, Little League. I played baseball, and I told you all how I was trying to catch a pop fly when my coach would hit it to me, and I was only 9 years old. And that ball is hard; it's a hard little ball, and I done been hit by it one or two times. So I didn't want to get hit anymore because it hurt. And so here I am out in the outfield, hit the ball, pow, and this is how I try to catch it. That's exactly. I'd wait till it get to me, and I'd do just like this. And wondering why I'm missing it. Sometimes I catch, sometimes I wouldn't. And he says, Stone, what are you doing? He said, you got to get under the ball. Get under the ball and watch it all the way in to that glove. He said, if you keep your eye on the ball and watch it all the way in, he said, it ain't going to hurt you. And sure enough, when I got under it and I stayed under it, pop, I caught it every time. And it didn't hit me in my face. It didn't hit me in my mouth, anything like that. Caught it every time. Same way it was the word. If you will receive the word, if you will come with a mindset, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say today. Because I'm your child. I belong to you. I want to hear the word because this word is my life. And I need to receive it into my heart. Because look what it says here. This word, which is actually implanted, not in the heart that's beating in your chest, the heart that's of your soul. This word is able to save or deliver your soul. It's able to set you free from every bondage, from everything of your past. It's able to wash away the residue. It's able to set you free. It's able to heal you from the inside out. It's able to begin to strengthen you and lift you, build you up, and literally change you into a new man or new woman. The word itself is able to do that. So for the last 5 minutes that I have, test my 5 minutes is all I got left. Maybe after 5 Kojic minutes too. Listen, we want to help you. We want to talk about be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. That's all. Just be doers. I've taken a lot of time exegeting, but I just want you to be encouraged to be doers of the word this morning. When you go back to the book of Ezekiel, you'll see what the scripture is saying here. When you hear what God is saying to Ezekiel the prophet, he says, son of man, those back in Palestine who inhabit these ruins of the land are saying, Abraham was only one man and he took possession of the land, but we're many. The land has most certainly been given to us to possess as property. What they were saying was, we have the promises of God. Abraham is our father. Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs of the faith. He's saying, God gave us the law. God gave us all these wonderful promises. God revealed himself to us. God is on our side. They're reflecting back at the time when they had the greatest kingdom on the earth under David and under Solomon's rule. Now they have just been invaded by the Babylonians and they are being taken into captivity. And they are now, some are still in the land and some of them have been taken away into captivity and they're in bondage over in Babylon. The people who are still back in Palestine or back in Israel, what they're saying is, we got Abraham as our father. He was only one man. God gave him the land. We're many people now, and we possess this land. In other words, what they're saying is, this is our land. God gave it to us. God's on our side. God is going to bless us. God is going to heal us. God is going to deliver us from this. God is going to bring us out of this. God is going to do all these things because we're standing on the promises of God. See that? How we say that? We're standing on the promises of God. God's going to do it. God's going to heal me. God's going to deliver me. God's going to set me free. God's going to do it. He's going to bless me. He's going to do. God's just going to bless me so much because I know he's a blesser. That's what they're saying. And God says to them, he said, therefore say to them, thus says the Lord, you eat meat with blood in it. You raise your eyes to idols. You shed blood. Should you take possession of the land? You rely on your sword as security. You commit outrageous and disgraceful acts. And each of you defiles his neighbor's wife. He said, you all are committing adultery. You're lying on each other. You're treating each other with injustice. You're hurting each other. He says, you're worshiping idols. You're eating blood. He said, you're doing all these things. God says, do you really think I'm going to give you this land? Even though I promised it to you, even though I gave it to your fathers, he said, do you really think I'm going to let you stay in this land with the actions you're engaging in? Then he goes on down as we read the end of it. He says, they don't really want to hear what I have to say. They don't want to hear your words because he was saying they are hearers of the word, but they're not doers. They pretend to want to hear what you have to say, but they have no heart to do what you have to say. And this is why we read over in the book of James is that, listen, you have to become a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Because you can have all the promises in the world. You can have all of the principles that God lays out for your salvation, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your breakthrough, as many of you want to say, for your next level and all this stuff. But if you're not doing what the word of God says, what God is saying is that you will not possess anything. You will not be delivered from anything. You will not be healed from anything. You will not receive any of these blessings that I promised. He said, because the blessings don't come to the hearer. The blessing comes to the doer. The scripture tells us in Deuteronomy, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Jesus says to his disciples, if you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, sing me a song. He didn't say, if you love me, tell me all about your woes. He said, if you love me, do what I say. So only thing I'm saying this morning, the last few minutes that I have, saints, we have to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Don't let the enemy, because this is a part of his devouring tactic, how he devours. Remember, as I said before, he's seeking whom he may devour. A lion, listen, the way a lion hunts, and some of you all have said this before, I've taught you all this. A lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away. 5 miles away. When a lion roars, the roar of a lion can be heard 5 miles away. Now, when he is closer to you, into that vicinity, when he roars, most animals are paralyzed by the roar of the lion. It paralyzes them. Notice, I don't have to, let me go. Go back to First Peter. First Peter, you'll see it. Most people, when you look at what the scripture says, and I gotta hurry up, y'all. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the real lion, but what the enemy does, he goes about as a roaring lion. He don't have any power. He don't have any power to overcome you because his power has been stripped if you're a child of God. The only power that he has is to roar, make the sound, create the circumstances, create situations, tempt you, and place enticements and stumbling blocks in your path to paralyze you. To paralyze you as a child of God, the same way a real lion does. When a real lion roars, most animals are paralyzed. They can't move. They don't know which direction he's coming from. Because the roar of the lion paralyzes, then the female lions who are already in place, they are the ones that actually attack. But it's the male lion's roar that paralyzes, and then it's the female lions who actually attack from the places where they're stalking. So remember this. What the enemy does, he roars as a lion. And whom does it paralyze? It paralyzes the animals or the people who are not solid in the word. Because you believe that the things that you see are real. You believe that what you are going through is actually what the end result is going to be. And he causes you to believe the deception. He causes you to receive the temptation. He causes you to actually fall because of his paralyzing schemes or his wiles, the Bible says. And because you're not a doer of the word, it causes you now not to have strength to be able to move when you need to move. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And this is why it's important for us to really understand that we must be doers of the word. We have to be careful hearers. We have to be those individuals who have the mindset, when I come to the house of God, when I get into the word of God in my personal Bible study time, when I'm in my prayer time, that is vital time. That is time that you don't let anybody distract, because that is necessary for your life. It's when you come to church, you don't let anything distract you from coming to the house of God, because it's the engrafted word of God that you hear that produces faith. It releases faith in you to be able to now stand against the wiles of the enemy. And this is why it's important for you to have this heart. Lord, anytime your door is open, anytime I have opportunity to hear your word, to read and to study, to show myself a workman that need not to be ashamed, that is what I want to do. And don't let anything distract you from that, because as they were in Ezekiel's day, they were living and doing whatever they wanted to do. And they would come to church as a religious act, just out of ritual, just out of, you know, something else to do. But they really had no heart to do what God has said. And this is why God said to them, those who are left there in the city, they're going to die of pestilence. Those who think they hiding out in caves, he said, oh, yeah, the disease is going to get them as well. He said, those who are out there in the fields, they think they hiding in trees, because the Babylonians had attacked Jerusalem. They had attacked the city, and some people had gotten away. He says, no, the animals going to get them. Disease is going to get the other ones, and the other ones going to die by famine. He said, I'm going to get all of them. He said, because what they're not doing, what the word of God says. And so what I'm encouraging you to do as God's people on this morning is to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Don't go home and live any kind of way you want to live as if God don't see. As if God don't see your heart, as if he don't see your actions, as if he doesn't have anything to say. Because you go back and read Ezekiel 3, he was telling them over there, he was saying, listen, look at what these guys are doing in darkness. Look at what they do when the lights go out. Because for some reason, we think that when we're doing stuff at night, that don't nobody see it. That's a deception of darkness. You think that nobody see you. And you putting crazy stuff on Facebook. You doing stupid stuff and then posting it. You sinning and then you tweeting about it. You compromising and doing stuff crazy, and you on TV talking about it. On Facebook and on social media talking about it. And you don't think, number one, that God sees. You don't understand that God sees and God knows. And so my bottom line is this. You can't expect to be healthy. Some of us, let me come down your road in my last 2 minutes. You want to be healthy, right? You say you want to live and you want to be healthy, but you want to keep eating everything you want to eat. You want to eat anything you want to eat. You don't want to exercise. You don't do that kind of thing, but you want to be healthy. You want your blood sugar to come down. You want to have ideal cholesterol. You don't want to have no COPD. You don't want to have no arthritis. You don't want to have anything that affects your body. Nothing, no heart disease. You don't have anything. But you want to do whatever you want to do. God says, tell them they're going to have a heart attack. Tell them they're going to have diabetes. Tell them that what they're going through is directly related to what they are doing. to themselves. Tell them that. So don't tell them by his stripes you're healed. Oh yeah, God gonna send his word and heal you. Keep on eating all you want to eat. Keep on doing exactly what you're doing, and God's just gonna heal you. Okay, that's what the false prophets will do. False prophets will tell you that. But God told Ezekiel, tell them. Now they ain't gonna want to hear it. They gonna go home and talk about you. Pastor shouldn't be talking about that. Pastor should be why are you dealing with this right there? Yeah. See, so they gonna go home and talk about you. He said, so just be mindful of that. But you got to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. For those of you all talking about how God going to bless you, but you don't want to pay tithes. You don't want to give offerings. You don't want to make any sacrifices. You don't want to be a consistent, habitual giver. God's not going to bless you. I'm just telling you the truth. It's not going to happen. You're going to stay in the same cycle. You're going to stay in the same cycle, like a washing machine. You're going to get stuck on rent cycle. You're going to be on rent cycle all the days of your life. Because remember, God loves you, but he'll let you die broke. He'll let you die in poverty. He'll let you stay right where you are. And all the wonderful blessings and all the things he wants to do in your life, he will then take them and give them to somebody else. Because the Bible says the wealth of the wicked. And when you rob God, you are wicked. Save the unsaved. It's wicked to think you can take what belongs to God and then think that God's going to bless you on top of it. That's a wicked thought. He says, I'm going to take from the wicked and I'm going to give it to the righteous. Or those who choose to do what's right. So you can't have the mindset that God's going to bless you and then you're not going to do what God tells you to do. It's just like you as a parent and you telling your child, clean your room, you know, wash the dishes and this and that and the other, and I'm going to buy you this bicycle, this game. And they say, I ain't going to clean up my room. I ain't going to wash them dishes. I ain't going to do nothing. And then they get in the car and say, are we going to get the game? Are we going to get the game now? And you looking like, are you serious? I'm about to knock your teeth out. That's what I'm about to do. That's what I'm about to knock you. I'm about to take your head off. But you see what I'm saying? But we, for some reason, we think God is different. We think God is crazy like that or something. So what he's saying to the children of Israel, he says the same thing to us. He said, listen, if you don't put away this wickedness, if you don't put away the residue of your past life, if you don't let me change your mind and get your mind transformed, and if you don't start doing what the word of God says, you are going to keep on getting the same thing you've always been getting, and you're going to get even worse. Because God blesses the doer of the word, not the hearer. As a matter of fact, if you keep reading James, you read a little bit further down in James chapter 1, he says, as a matter of fact, he said, those of you all who hear the word and don't do it, he said, what the word really begins to do is deceive you. What you really begin to do when you come to church, Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, for those who come to Wednesday night, some of y'all don't even come to that. But that's another subject. We'll deal with that later. But you come Sunday in, Sunday out. He says, when you keep doing this, but don't have a mind to do what the word of God says. In other words, you cherry pick. I'm going to pick what I want to hear. I'm going to choose what I want to do from God's word. I'll pick what I want to do. I'll pick what I want to hear. I didn't like that, so I ain't going to do that. I don't agree with that, so I ain't going to do that. I don't think that's right, so I ain't going to do that. So he said, when you have that mindset, he said, what the word will begin to do, you begin to get a mindset like this. I'm okay. It don't take all that. I'm all right. You get this mindset. God understands. He understands. He knows. He knows me. I got bills. He knows I got to do this. He knows I got to do that. He knows I'm tired. He knows I got to cut my grass on Sunday, even though I know I put to be in church on Sunday. But he knows my grass is how I need to cut today because I got to work tomorrow. He knows I need to wash my car. He knows this is my baby's birthday is on Sunday. So therefore we're going to stay here and have a party instead of we ain't going to church because he knows this. He knows all these kind of things. You know, so all the excuses. In other words, what the word will begin to do, the word will begin to allow you to make whatever excuse that you want to make. And God won't do anything to convict you. He won't do anything to convict you and tell you otherwise. In other words, he starts giving you over to your own thoughts. He starts allowing you to justify. And the word, he says, and I won't do anything to change your mind. And what that begins to happen, slowly, you begin to become more and more deceived. More and more deceived. More and more deceived. And I close out with this. I saw this on one of them animal shows. There was an alligator or a crocodile in this water. And there was this little baby gazelle right by the water. Now, the gazelle knew the alligator was in the water because it could sense it. And I'm watching this thing. Some of y'all may have saw the same thing on Facebook or whatever. And he's But he's thirsty and he's drinking. He's drinking the water. He jumps back. And he goes back. He drinks a little bit more. He jumps back. He goes. He drinks a little bit more. And then he just sits there. He's drinking. He's getting more and more comfortable. Then he jumps a little bit. But this time he don't jump quite as far back. He just jumps a little bit. And he's drinking. And all of a sudden, out pops the alligator and grabs him and takes him under. See, that's the same way it is when you are a hearer and not a doer. What the word of God says, it will literally be, God, this is the analogy. I'm giving you a parable, a word picture. It will allow you to get more and more comfortable in your sin. You'll get more and more comfortable in what you're doing and how you're doing it. You'll get more and more comfortable missing church. You'll get more and more comfortable not giving. You'll get more and more comfortable just talking any way you want to talk, living any way you want to live, doing whatever you want to do. You'll get more and more comfortable with it. And there won't even be any jump back in you. No conviction. No getting away from it. No fear. No reverence. You don't. In other words, if I know an alligator's in the water, I'm going to another watering hole. I'm getting away from that hole. I'm not going to even try to drink there. If I know this is sin, I'm getting away from it. If I know this is going to possibly destroy my life, I ain't getting close to it. I don't want to even be close to sin. I want to be as far away from that as possible because I fear the alligator that's in the water. It can take my life. So I don't want to be nowhere near that. But see, that's what happens. If you become a hearer and not a doer, you slowly get sedated. You slowly justify your actions. You slowly begin to think this is okay. Because, of course, as even they said in Ezekiel's day, God hasn't done anything yet. I still got my job. Still got my health. I'm still living. Ain't nothing happened to me. I'm eating what I want to eat. I ain't died. Ain't nothing happened. I'm taking what belongs to God. I still got my job. I still got all these things. Everything. I'm still working. I'm still buying stuff. Everything's okay. You think because you haven't been judged, you think you're okay. But you don't know. God is saying, I'm reserving you for a day of judgment. I'm reserving my judgment for you. Because I'm allowing you to get so far away, to become so callous that you can't come back. Therefore, I got judgment reserved for you. And so this is why I'm saying this. Let's stand to our feet. I'm finished. Come on, elders. It's important for us to become doers of the word and not just hearers only. Thank you for your time. I went over just a little bit, but you asked the questions. So we want to give it to you. So saints of God, I'm saying this to you. Don't allow the enemy to distract you. Fight for your focus. Fight for your focus. Fight for your consecration. Press into the house of God. Ask God to forgive you if you've been touching his time, talents, or treasure. And ask him to give you a new heart. Put away that residue. Put away that residue. And press in. Some people say, don't take all that. Tell somebody, takes that and more. The Bible says the righteous are going to scarcely make it. So where is the wicked going to stand on the day of judgment? We're living in a day right now where people are falling by the wayside daily. People are leaving the faith daily. People are dying daily. People are compromising and all kind of things every single day. You have to press in to God's presence. You have to take your walk with God very serious. That's why the Bible says, be sober. That's what Peter said. Be sober. Get a serious mind about hearing and doing what God says. And then be vigilant. Be ready to put up a fight if it needs to. Be ready to fight for your salvation. Fight for your deliverance. Fight for your presence in God's house. Fight for it. You got to fight. Sometimes you got to fight to study. Sometimes you got to fight to read. Sometimes you got to be disciplined. And you got to push past all the distractions. You got to push past all the excuses. You got to push past all that. Because that's what vigilance means. It means now you take an active and an actual offensive stance that says you're not going to just push me over excuses. I'm not going to let an excuse push me over. You know, I go to work when I'm tired. I go to work when I'm tired. See? I'll drive 2 or 3 hours to go to a football game. I'll sit out in the rain on a hard bench, on a metal or stone bench, watching a football game for 3-4 hours. But when it comes down to the house of God, I got all these excuses. Tired. It's hot in that church. He talked too much. The announcer on the, at the game talked too much. You don't say nothing about him talking. He talked during the whole game. You don't say nothing about them talking. You see, I'm just saying, we got to get different mindset. Different mindset. Because these are things that's trying to rob us of our faith. And you got to fight against these things. You got to be sober, vigilant. And don't think that because you just said yes to Jesus years ago, that everything's okay. No. Tell somebody, I got to press in. I got to press in. You got to press every day because this is our mandate. All right. Our deacons are here.